Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255, if you want to join the conversation. Michael, my buddy, thank you so much again, my friend, for the wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. Buddy, I listen to you all the time. I got to tell you, you have been on fire the last couple of weeks. Your analysis, as usual, brilliant, incisive, insightful. America needs you now in this historic election, maybe more than ever. And to all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest must-read sizzling stories you literally cannot find anywhere else. And at the top of michaelsavage.com, and I have to again praise Michael for this, I have to give him his due. Although Michael has said repeatedly he will vote for Romney, he understands, as Michael has just eloquently put it, Obama is the destroyer. He is a socialist destroyer who is dismantling our republic piece by piece. And that Romney must win in November, not because Romney is the second coming of Ronald Reagan, but because Romney will be better than Obama. Anybody will be better than Obama. And like the Hippocratic Oath says, first do no harm. And that's why a Romney victory in November is imperative. However, as Michael has rightly pointed out, this has now become a party of eunuchs. They lack, as the Spanish would say, the cojones to stand up to the Obama Chicago political gangsters who have been assaulting the Republicans, savaging the Republicans, smearing the Republicans day after day, week after week. And in particular, Mitt Romney has shown himself to be weak, to be defensive, and at times to be spineless. And right there at the top right-hand corner of michaelsavage.com, it's the lead story. Everybody has to read it. I won't gut health reform, says Romney. So here you have the Republican nominee for President of the United States riding a wave of massive disenchantment and opposition to Obamacare. A socialist monstrosity that takes over 1/6 of the American economy, will lead to mass rationing, is loaded with taxes and burdens on small businesses, will break this country's back and destroy the finest healthcare sector in the world. And now, Mitt Romney says he won't gut it? The whole basis of his campaign was to repeal Obamacare. And now he's backtracking? Why? Why is Mitt Romney backtracking? Because he sees the post-convention bounce. He sees that Obama now, according to many polls, is now ahead by 4 or 5 percentage points after that freak show that we saw last week. The hope, the change, the crying, the people passing out in the audience, the tears. People there with their faces clenched, looking up at the dear leader, looking up at the our savior in chief, at our liberal messiah. Save us, dear leader. Save us. We can't do anything ourselves anymore. Hope and change. Let's hope our way. Literally hope our way into prosperity. We can do it. And now Romney, afraid, reeling, frightened, in panic from a small convention bounce, is interviewed, as Michael Savage would put it, on Meet the Mess on NBC with David Gregory. Meet the Mess. So David Gregory now sticks it to Romney and says, well, hold on now, Mr. Romney, Mitt, you said that you were going to repeal Obamacare. But some parts of Obamacare, like pre-existing conditions, like maybe having your children on your parents' health insurance until the age of 26, those are pretty popular, Mitt. Would you get rid of those too? And here is what Mitt Romney said. Boys, roll clip one.
I say we're going to replace Obamacare, and I'm replacing it with my own plan. And, you know, even in Massachusetts, where I was governor, our plan there deals with pre-existing conditions and with young people.
So you keep that as part of the federal plan?
Oh, I'm not getting rid of all of health care reform. Of course, there are a number of things that I like in health care reform that I'm going to put in place.
You're not going to get rid of all of health care reform? Mitt, are you kidding me? You expect us now to ride into political battle with you, knowing full well you've already got the knife sort of just dangling at our back, ready to just stick it in the moment you win in November? This bill must be repealed root and branch. And here's why. Here's why. Forget what you think about pre-existing conditions and whether people with pre-existing conditions should be covered or not covered, or whether you want to be a mooch and live off your parents till you're 25, 26. Hell, why 26? I never understood this. 26. Why suddenly 26? Yeah, 30, 35, 40. What the hell? I'll live off my parents till 40. Maybe I'll get a job then. It's unbelievable. But we can't afford it. That's what you... The country is going bankrupt. What Mitch should say is say, look, we're at $16 trillion in national debt. We're running trillion-dollar plus deficits every year. We're going broke, literally. David, get that fake toupee off of you, okay, because it's blocking your vision. Take a look at the TV screen, David, okay, and look across the Atlantic and see what's happening in Spain, Italy, and Greece. You see, they have pre-existing conditions. That's covered. In fact, there it's not 26, it's 56. You're covered. Well, you can stay with your parents till you drop dead. It's all covered in Greece and Spain. And, David, and do you see that? They're broke. There's no money left even in Spanish banks. People are going to banks in Spain. They can't take out money. There's no money. That's our future, David. So I'm going to treat you and the American people like adults. You're going to hire me as an accountant to fix the bankrupt corporation that is America. Because if we don't fix it, we're finished. He is already backsliding. And when people ask me, why is Romney not delivering the knockout blow? Unemployment over 8%. The country is drowning in red ink and debt. Our borders undefended. American power in decline. For the first time in living memory, the future of our children and grandchildren is going to be worse off than what we have. And Romney can't close the deal? Because people sense he's got no core. He's got no integrity. He's got no backbone. Mitt, take the gloves off and stick it to Obama. If you can't do it, if for whatever reason, okay, look, Mitt, I understand that. You're a nice Mormon guy. Really, you're a nice guy. You don't like to say bad things about people. Mormons don't like to insult people. I understand that. Okay, Mitt, then get Paul Ryan to do it. And if Paul Ryan doesn't want to do it, get John Sununu. He's the only guy from the entire Romney camp that's actually willing to go on television and stick it to the Obamas and fight them. and point out all of their lies and hypocrisies and misstatements and falsehoods. But Mitt, you got to take the gloves off and you got to stand firm. My friends, you fight a campaign on defense, you will lose. And Romney is already budging from positions and positions and issues that he said he would never budge from. And so I ask you a very simple question. Do you believe Mitt Romney will stab the American people in the back, will stab his supporters in the back, and not repeal Obamacare? Do you see Mitt Romney as ultimately not fulfilling his promise? Do you trust him? Will Mitt do the right thing? Or is he backsliding in panic? 1-800-449-8255. To Mitt or not to Mitt? This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. What does Mitt Romney need to do to take the offensive? Over the weekend, the dear leader, Obama himself, was doing the talk show rounds. And he's on CBS News being interviewed by Scott Pelley. And Scott Pelley says, well, hold on now. Would you be willing to compromise? What would you be willing to compromise on, dear leader? And Obama says, you know what? I will compromise, but on my terms, especially when it comes to the deficit. Boys, roll clip 7.
I'm, you know, more than happy to work with the Republicans. And what I've said is, in reducing our deficits, we can make sure that we cut $2.50 for every dollar of increased revenue.
So he wants basically $2 in spending cuts, which, by the way, you'll never see. But anyway, let that go. $2.50 in spending cuts, maybe the military. Yeah, they'll gut the military. That's about it. For every $1 in increased revenue, meaning tax increases. Now, listen to Romney again when he's interviewed by David Gregory.
I say we're going to replace Obamacare, and I'm replacing it with my own plan. And, you know, even in Massachusetts, where I was governor, our plan there deals with pre-existing conditions and with young people.
So you keep that as part of the federal plan?
Oh, I'm not getting rid of all of health care reform. Of course, there are a number of things that I like in health care reform that I'm going to put in place.
So he's already compromising, and he hasn't even won the election yet. So if he's going to compromise on Obamacare, you don't think maybe he would compromise with the Democrats on the deficit? You don't think maybe a Dirty Harry Reid or Nancy the Piranha Pelosi won't roll him on that, on those revenues and tax increases and spending cuts? I'm telling you right now, my friends, I'm sensing jellyfish. I'm sensing no spine. He's turning into jelly right in front of our eyes. Jim, in New York, on the great WOR, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
I don't know why this is surprising to anybody, because, I mean, Mitt Romney's kind of known for flip-flopping on every subject. There is not a subject that he has not flip-flopped on.
Jim, I have to say, on abortion, he flip-flopped. On gay rights, he flip-flopped. You run issue after issue after issue. You're right, he's been flip-flopping. What surprises me, Jim, is he's doing it in the middle of an election campaign. I mean, normally you flip-flop after you've won the presidency or after you've won an election. But this guy's, you know what he's doing, Jim? He's negotiating with himself. Literally, that's what he's doing. He's saying, they got a convention bounce? Sure, I'll compromise on health care reform. Pre-existing conditions, that's popular. Pollster, popular? Yes. Kids 26 with the parents? Yes. Yes. Hey, I passed Romney Care. I passed Romney Care. Hey, I'm Mr. Universal Healthcare. I just don't like Obamacare, but I'll keep a lot of it. Now, if he's already willing to cave on this, what else is he not willing to cave on? And that's not why we're supporting him. Mitt, I'm telling you, you better grow a backbone and fast. Matt in Delaware, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is I think Mitt's got a lot more backbone than most people realize. And the reason I say that is he's worked with a lot of the Republicans on reform. And if you explain what reform really means, reform means taking something and turn it into something else. And I get so annoyed because the independents, if you guys go on some of these independent blogs, independents, look, if you look at the polls on the independents, the independents want reform, but a better reform. And on top of that, he's trying to get everybody to understand that the health care that we have now will cripple the economy.
No, Mitt, I understand that. On that part, he's got me. He's got me at hello. On that second part, it will cripple our economy. We're not electing him, and I don't know what's going through his mind. I'm not electing him to make sure that people with pre-existing conditions can get health insurance. I'm not supporting him so some deadbeat kid at 26 or 25 says, you know what, I want to stay on my parents' health insurance. Get a job, buddy. Get out of the basement. Get off the couch. Go out and get a job and get your own health insurance. That's not why I'm backing Mitt Romney. Now, the reason why I'm backing Mitt Romney is he's supposed to be the adult in the room. He's the one that's supposed to be telling us we're living beyond our means. We can't afford extending all of this coverage. We can't afford all of this spending. We have to start cutting spending. We have to balance our books, or else we're toast. My friends, if we do not turn this around this election, we are grease. We might as well start drinking ouzo right now. This is Jeff Cooner on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. We will be right back here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. You know, what to me is doubly depressing about the way Mitt Romney has just basically been fighting this campaign with white gloves on is you have this president who is, as some of the producers told me just before he went on the air, the laugh-out-loud president, the LOL president. I mean, this guy's like a child. He's like a perpetual adolescent with the silly jokes, with the cheap emotion, the cheap sentimentality. I mean, that whole convention last week was one big joke. And there he is, strutting the world stage, making promises he can't keep. People are crying, but puffing himself up. And now, at a recent campaign stop, just to show you how juvenile and adolescent, how puerile this guy is. I mean, would your own 17-year-old teenage son behave like this? He's at, in Orlando, Florida, because they need Florida. Florida is very important. He doesn't win Florida, he's going to lose the election. So there he is at Florida. And he's joking with the family over their son being born in Hawaii. And so they're saying, hey, you're from Hawaii. Our kid is from Hawaii. And the audio quality is not very good. But listen to this. He says, oh, yeah, he's from Hawaii. Where's his birth certificate? Boys, roll clip 10.
Hey, he's Hawaiian.
He's Hawaiian.
You know how to do a shaka.
Do a shaka, Andre. Shaka.
Yeah. Go away. You were born in Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Okay. Do you have a birth certificate?
Yes, sir.
Lots of them.
I don't know if you heard that. He was like, you know, do you shaka? Do you shaka? He goes to the boy and he goes, yeah, yeah, I shaka. And he goes, yeah, so you were born again in Hawaii? He asks him again. The kid says, yes, yes. He goes, hey, do you have a birth certificate? You have a birth certificate? Ha, 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 ha. And the parents say, yeah, lots of them. Lots of them. So hold on now. So if Mitt Romney makes a joke, as he did a couple weeks ago, saying, you know, when he was back in Michigan, in Detroit, saying, hey, I'm back in Detroit, I'm back in Michigan, I don't need a birth certificate. Ooh, I thought Chris Matthews was going to wet himself on camera, on MSLF BC. Chris Matthews almost got a heart attack. Racist, playing the race card. Oh, he's mentioning the birth certificate. But when the dear leader kids around about the birth certificate, it's just he's a comedian. Now he's the second coming of Johnny Carson. Now he's Mr. Funny. He's the comedian in chief. And you want to talk about laughs. There is this photo. I don't know if many of you have seen it. It's on michaelsavage.com. And you can see it everywhere. It has literally gone viral. Where the president is in Florida. And I think he's convinced that we're so stupid that we won't see through this blatant photo op. That is, this is completely a manufactured phony photo. But apparently, he's at this restaurant. It's called the Big Apple Pizza and Pasta Italian Restaurant. And it's in Fort Pierce, Florida. And he's with this owner, who's a bit of a big, chubby guy, Scott Van Duzer. And this picture is of Scott Van Duzer, the owner of this restaurant, literally scooping Obama off the floor and giving him a giant bear hug, huge bear hug. And the president, as he's being bear hugged, is extending his arms outward like, wow, look at this guy scooping me up like a bear hug. He loves me so much. We're like buddies drinking beer and having pizza, and he's scooping me up the floor, scooping me right off the floor. Now, this photo to me is bizarre on many levels. One, does the president actually think that this connotates strength when he does this? That the president of the United States is being basically lifted and thrown around like a rag doll by this guy, this big pizza owner? That's number one. Number two, if this was supposedly a spontaneous moment, as the Obama camp wants us to believe, because the president, you know, it's like Stalin. It's like these Potemkin villages they would show to foreign journalists. He's just so beloved by the people. The people so love our dear leader that when they see him, they have to just give him a massive bear hug and scoop him off the ground. They just love him so much. Where's the Secret Service? I mean, do you honestly believe? Let's just say he meets Jeff Kooner at a restaurant. And I say, oh, dear leader. And I grab him and I scoop him off the ground and give him a bear hug. They would be on me within 2 seconds flat. I mean, I'm going to prison. I got handcuffs on me. They probably sliced my head open with a baton to the head. I'm being dragged off in a car. But no, suddenly, spontaneously, he just lifts him off the floor and the Secret Service does nothing. And then finally, what is this country coming to about the dignity of the office of the presidency? I mean, just sit back. Think Ronald Reagan. Did anybody bear hug Ronald Reagan? Would anybody, I don't know, bear hug FDR? Would anybody bear hug Eisenhower? I mean, the dignity of the Oval Office. I mean, who do you bear hug? Your kids. I bear hug my little Ashton, my little 2-year-old. I bear hug my nephews. Who the hell bear hugs a 40-something-year-old man? Never mind the president of the United States. I mean, this to me. And so, but apparently they think this is going to play well with stupid America. Is there enough stupid people that go, oh, golly gee, look at that president. He's so friendly. He's so friendly. He's getting bear hugged by this guy at a restaurant. I'm going to vote for him. He's my kind of guy. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What do you make of this photo? Do you like a president who's bear hugged by pizza owners? I mean, does that inspire confidence in you? Does that make you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside? Or yeah, where will it get you a job? Maybe that's the way to do it. Mr. President, I need a job. Let me bear hug you. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Let's go to our blazing phone lines. David in West Virginia, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, it's a mirage about the bear hug. He just wants to come across as this, you know, he's every man. He's, you know, he's just like your best buddy. But it's a mirage. But the reason I was calling, that was the first time I heard the clip, the Mitt Romney clip that you played. And the way that I took that, although I think it could have been much clearer and forceful in saying it, was that, listen, I got to wipe Obama, Clary. He's got to do that. It's catastrophic politically if he does not repeal that. But then I'm not going to abandon the issues themselves. I am going to try to revisit or at least throw out some ideas. I'm not going to just wipe it and forget like it ever happened. There were some legitimate things that were brought up, and then he's going to revisit them with some ideas, but not that he's going to necessarily keep aspects of Obamacare. At least that's what I hope he meant. That was the way I took it, hearing it the first time.
David, the key word is hope. That, you know, I mean, Obama's talking about hope. Let's hope. We're going to hope, too, that that's not what he meant. Let's all hope. Look, I got to tell you, if he was honest and candid, he would say this. What is driving health care costs is that we have 12 to 20 million illegal immigrants that are bankrupting our hospitals, bankrupting our emergency rooms. We can't afford this. And if we got rid of these illegal immigrants, we wouldn't have a health care crisis. That's the real issue here. So instead of adding 30 million people to the insurance rolls, which we can't afford, let's go after the source of the problem. But no, everybody said, you know, you got to have independents, you have to have moderates, you have to have women, you have to have suburbanites, you can't be offensive. You have to be compassionate. You have to be sensitive. You have to be tolerant. That's what this is all about here. So, no, you have to come across as middle of the road. You have to compromise. So there are parts about, David, there are parts about this plan that I like. And I will enact my own health care reform. And I will keep some of the best aspects of Obamacare because I'm reasonable. And I'm non-threatening. And I'm not a right-wing extremist like they were saying at the convention last week. Will you like me, David? Please? There, that's the interview in a nutshell. That's the guy that's supposed to take on this illegitimate criminal gang from Chicago. Now, is he up to it? I prefer John Sununu. I prefer, frankly, an Arab American who's willing to take the gloves off and get in the gutter and stick it to these guys. So, to me, get Sununu in there and have him be on David Gregory. Because when I see Sununu, I want to vote for Mitt Romney. When I don't see Sununu and I see Mitt Romney, I'm not sure I should vote for Mitt Romney. Steve in Albany, New York on WGY. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We just dropped Steve. Brian in Pittsburgh, PA. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, with regard to the bear hug incident with the president, am I the only one that's like seeing that this is a complete breakdown in security for the president of the United States? I mean, I don't personally like the man, but I mean, when the days are coming that you can just bear hug a president, I mean, I don't know. I'm dumbfounded by the whole thing. It's just such a breakdown.
I mean, hey, Brian, look, man, you're right. I mean, that's what we're talking about just during the break. I like them better in Colombia. I swear, I like the Secret Service better in Colombia. I swear to you. Well, okay, at least they're seeing hookers.
Yeah.
I understand why they're distracted. But this, I mean, what are they, eating the pizza?
Yeah. I mean, I to me, when you think of the President of the United States and you think of someone, you know, like him or not, you know, I'm not, but... I mean, you think to yourself, here is a man that's running our country. This man, you brought up a wonderful point when you said, you know, Ronald Reagan or any of the past presidents. You couldn't get near them. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, here's somebody that's the commander-in-chief of our nation. And for the owner of a pizza shop to just walk up and, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. It dumbfounded me. I mean, it shows the continuous breakdown of government. It's the continuing breakdown of order. And it makes, in my opinion, the decision that much easier of who I'm going
to
vote
for. Oh, I said, look, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm criticizing Mitt Romney because I want him to win the election. I'm doing this because I don't want to see him lose. I want to see that fire in the belly. But look, forget the security service detail just for a second. You see Ronald Reagan. Do you want to bear hug him? No. He's the president. It's not like you stand up, Mr. President, you shake his hand. Maybe if you're really emotional, you hug him a little bit, you tap him on the shoulder, right? I mean, he's the president. No, this guy, he's like, seriously, like your pal, like your 17-year-old little, like my nephews, I swear. Like, hey, come here, let me scoop you up a little bit. Ooh, you're getting big. You almost pulled my back there.
Exactly. When I saw the whole thing, I had to shake my head and say, okay, you know, this is why I'm making the decision that I'm making and that I hope, more listeners.
Same people. That same people will see. I'm with you. Look, Brian, let's be candid. We're among friends now in the Savage Nation. Obama is a joke. His party is a joke, and he's increasingly turning America into a joke. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Jerry in Chicago on WJJG. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Jerry.
Wow, Jeff. It's amazing. Barack Obama inspires that much inspiration in someone who, so he bear hugs him. Barack Obama had no control. He didn't know that was going to happen. So you use that, Jeff, to attack Barack Obama, something he couldn't control and something where he inspired someone else. And to you, that's a negative.
With you're being serious. Sorry, I thought you were joking.
Handshake to Mitt Romney.
Hold on. Jerry, you honestly think that this guy so loves Obama that just spontaneously, when he saw him, he lifted him up off the floor and bear hugged him? What's your evidence? I mean, I'm just curious. What makes you think that this man is so beloved, that he's so revered, so adulated by the people, that they just want to, everybody wants to bear hug him? What's your evidence for that, Jerry?
So you're calling this pizza shop owner a job creator? You're calling him a liar? You're saying this guy's a liar? You're saying
a job creator? Now suddenly you love job creators? No, he actually worked for the Obama campaign in 2008. We know that now. Evidence is starting to come out about him. He's a political hack. And now, look, if you honestly believe this was spontaneous, if you honestly believe Obama had no control, if this is now the new liberal democratic spin, then the Secret Service should be fired. Literally, as they say in French, en masse, in one shot. Everybody should be fired. How can a man walk up to the president and just bear hug him? Jerry, he could have broken his back. Did you see the picture? Did you see how big that guy is? He could have snapped him in two like a twig.
Yeah, I saw the picture. And I know that you're calling everybody around there a liar. You believe they're all liars. How many other people are liars around there? Is it just the people in that pizza shop? Was it everybody a liar?
Jerry, no. What I'm saying is that this is a very cynical, Machiavellian political operation that is cynically manipulating and using pictures and photo ops to manipulate the public. That's what this is, Jerry. This is an attempt to fool the American public into thinking, look how loved the president is. Look how beloved he is. People just want to bear hug him. Shaking his hand isn't enough. Kissing him on two cheeks is not enough. Hugging him is not enough. They got to bear hug him now, Jerry. And where's the Secret Service? Look, by your definition, if you honestly believe Obama had no control over this, where's the Secret Service, Jerry? How can a man get that close to the president and lift him up in the air in a bear hug? Shouldn't the Secret Service be fired, Jerry? Isn't this a massive breakdown in security, Jerry? Hello, so, Jerry? Jeff.
Well, Jerry? I don't know. I don't know if you allow
you
me
don't
to
know.
Talk. Well, you know, how are you going to blame this on Obama? If it's a shutdown in Secret Service, I know you want to blame that on Obama, too.
Because no, if it was a...
To follow, Jeff. You have to attack Obama. You have to do that for most of your show. Michael Savage, you get mad if you're not actively attacking Obama.
I got you, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. Thank you for that call, Jerry. Jerry, I hate to break the news to you, but if that man legitimately, spontaneously hugged Obama like that, this heads would be rolling at the Secret Service right now, and Obama's people would be leading the charge, Jerry. Wake up, Jerry. Now you want to know why Chicago's in a mess? Look at people like Jerry. Those are the people that reelect the Rahm Emanuels. And you want to know why the teachers are out on strike and putting the city over a barrel? Hey, it's right there. Liberalism is a mental disorder, as Michael Savage always says. Mark in Minnesota, quickly. I got about a minute. Go, baby.
Well, he's disrespecting the office is what he's doing around not only this country but around the world, bowing to people he shouldn't be and so forth. We are the greatest nation, and we don't have a leader right now, and he's made a joke of the office.
Mark, but he is a cuddly teddy bear.
Yeah, apparently.
He's the bear hugger in chief, Mark. You know what? When we're completely bankrupt, we can make teddy bears of Obama and sell them around the world. Everybody will want to hug it. That's the plan for economic recovery. This is
great
Jeff
job,
Cooner
Jeff.
On Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Michael is off tonight. I'll be filling in for him. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. For must-read, sizzling stories that will knock your socks off. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, thank you for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. Obviously, it's an incredible show. I've been listening to you for the last couple of weeks in particular. Your analysis of both the Republican and Democratic conventions I thought was spot on. Some of the best analysis in the country. Buddy, rest. Recharge your batteries, because this country needs you now more than ever, especially during the silly season during this campaign. Go to michaelsavage.com, and on that story, on that site, forgive me, there is a story up there. I mean, just to show you what kind of a dangerous socialist ideologue, the complete lack of respect for what Michael Savage calls language, borders, and culture that this man in the White House has. Now the White House has deliberately ordered that all of these plane rides that bring back illegal immigrants from the United States back into Mexico become suspended. They are now suspending every airplane ride, every attempt to fly back illegal immigrants and essentially deport them out of our country. Why? The Obama administration claims that they need to save money, that this program over the last 7 years of flying back illegal immigrants is costing the American taxpayer too much. It's costing us $100 million over 7 years, and we don't have that kind of money anymore. Notice now, all of a sudden, they're tightening their belts. Suddenly now, they're all fiscally conservative. Suddenly now, no, we got to be careful how we spend our money. The real reason is this. By not flying back the army of illegal immigrants that are in this country, they want to keep them here because we all know many of them, especially in states where there are not voter ID laws, will vote. That is the army that the Democrats are counting on to put them over the top in November. So Obama, in his second term, can do what he has been planning for the last 4 years. Grant blanket across-the-board amnesty to illegal immigrants. That's why that photo is circulating today. Because what you're seeing in that photo of the dear leader being bear-hugged at a pizzeria in Florida is all about him manipulating the public. Propaganda to convince you he's just an ordinary Joe. He's just an average Joe. That the people love him so much that they can't contain themselves when they're around him. And that's why they're picking him up and they're hugging him. They're giving him a bear hug. That's how much they love him. You know, this photo that has now gone viral reminds me eerily of Putin's Russia. This is exactly what Putin does. Literally, to a T. You see Putin in photo after photo with his shirt off, macho man, showing us his sexy pecs and his tight abs. And there he is wrestling with the tiger. There he is swimming the Volga. There he is on horseback. There he is wrestling with a bear. So we've gone from Putin the bear wrestler to Obama the bear hugger. We've gone from literally the Russian bear to being bear hugged. Say what you want about Putin. At least there's something manly about that. You know, he looks sexy with those pecs and everything. You go, oh, he's fearsome with that machine gun, with that gun hunting bears, killing them with his bare hands. This guy's being bear hugged like some 16-year-old punk. And another thing. I mean, I don't want to go on, but these things have to be said because this is not just done spontaneously. Contrary to what the White House and the, as Michael Savage puts it, the government media complex wants you to think. Notice how the Obamas are always in our business. Notice that Michelle is, as Michael Savage says, the Lord of the Fries. She loves French fries. They're always lecturing us. Watch the carbs, watch the junk food, watch what you eat. Your kids are too fat. They're going to be too fat. No hot dogs, no hamburgers, no pizza, no French fries. She's always stuffing her face with French fries. Now, notice this guy. Where is this guy, the dear leader? Mr. Sexy, Mr. Skinny. He's at a pizzeria. So they can stuff their faces with pizza. They can stuff their faces with French fries, but we can't. To me, it's just the hypocrisy is mind-boggling. And this is the real issue. We are becoming, whether we know it or not, a third world banana republic. That's why the illegal immigrants are not being sent back. That's why our borders are not being patrolled or enforced. That's why non-Americans, illegal immigrants, undocumented workers, forgive me, I'm still trying to catch up with the politically correct terminology here. That's why they can vote. And they will vote. Because what we have is the cult of personality. That's what you saw at the Democratic National Convention all last week. Obama, our savior. Obama, the man that will rescue us. Obama, the man who turned around GM. Obama, the man who faced down Osama bin Laden. Obama, the man who understands all our pain. We must follow the dear leader. We must now look at this Messiah who can lead us out of the darkness and out of the wilderness. Even their slogan. Don't even take my word for it. Look it up. Google it. Forward. It's a Marxist slogan. That was the slogan used by Mao's communists in China. Forward. Even their slogan tells you everything you need to know about them. So, what is this whole thing about? The dear leader is so beloved, he's being bear hugged. That's how much people love him so much. That's the image they're trying to connotate to people. That's what they're trying to project. He's so loved that this pizzeria owner, he can't contain himself. He has to hold him and not just embrace him, not just kiss his hands or kiss his feet. He has to lift him up the air and bear hug him out of such love and enthusiasm. It's to reinforce in the public's mind how the ordinary Joe loves him, how he's so beloved, how he is one of us and yet stands above us. This is the choreography, the political theater, the deification of Obama that began last week and will continue right until November. 1-800-449-8255. Bonnie in Knoxville, Tennessee on WNOX. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Bonnie.
Hi, Jeff. Listen, I think I may even be more cynical than you because I think the Chicago teacher strike is a setup. I think Rahm is going to call on his good friend Obama to come back to his hometown and help settle the teacher strike so that we all fall in love with him even more because he saved our children from missing school.
Bonnie, thank you for that call. That's a very interesting point. This teacher strike to me is a fiasco. We are going bankrupt. Chicago is going bankrupt. And now you have these teachers, 400,000 kids didn't go to school today, just basically unsupervised, left to roam the streets of Chicago. The average school teacher in Chicago, now think about this, makes $76,000 a year before benefits. When you add dental, when you add retirement, when you add health care, they're making about over $100,000 a year. They have the highest national average salary among any teacher anywhere. And then Dead Fish Emmanuel, who's so beholden to the public sector unions, says, okay, I'll give you a 16% raise. 16%. We're basically in a great recession. Who gets a 16% raise over 4 years? He goes, I'll give it to you, 16% over 4 years. And they're still striking. You know why they're striking? This to me is rich. This to me is the cherry on the sundae. Because even Dead Fish Emmanuel says the test scores are dropping like a stone. The students can't even read. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. 79%, basically 80%, 8 out of 10 students in the Chicago public school system are not proficient in reading at the 8th grade level. My friends, members of the Savage Nation, 8 out of 10 kids in the Chicago school system can't read. They can't read. And so when you say, well, to get merit pay, you got to have the test scores up. I mean, come on. I mean, we can't have a generation of complete illiterates. Even Rahm Emanuel is saying that. I mean, come on. They can't work in my office if they can't read the emails. You know, if they can't spell dear constituent, I can't do my job. You got to give me something. They want that provision killed. Those were the people at the Democratic Convention. They're the ones that are saying, give us more money. Give us more seniority. Give us more tenure. More. This is Greece. What you're seeing in Chicago today, that is literally what's happened to Greece, where the public sector unions were so strong, had such a stranglehold on politics, that they literally bankrupted their country. That's our future. You give Obama 4 more years, and that strike that you're seeing in Chicago, that will be in city after city after city. And then before you know it, by 2016, poof, we go bankrupt. But don't worry about it, because the dear leader will still be so beloved that we're going to be giving him bear hugs. And that, my friend, is the story of America. As we go bankrupt, we celebrate Obama's America. And I ask you, are we not becoming a third world country? I think we are. And so my question to you is a very simple one. Do you think public school teachers should be making $76,000 a year? Should they be making twice what private workers make? It's a fair question. 1-800-449-8255. Do you support the public school teachers in Chicago? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Brian in Sacramento on KSTE. You're on the Savage Nation, Brian.
Thank you so much. I really look forward to hearing you when you substitute.
Thank you, Brian.
You make a lot of sense. Very quickly, here's the situation. You are absolutely right. Everything coming out of this administration is absolutely newspeak. The INGSOC says choco rations are going up. They're not going down. The jobs report, it looked good, but we're not going to tell you about the net effect of how many more were lost. Here in San Francisco, one of the largest community colleges in the entire nation, 150,000 students go here, is being threatened of being closed down and losing its accreditation because the liberal administrators and chancellors have been told so many times to get your act together that they're going to pull the accreditation within 8 months if they don't. And then on top of it, they add insult to injury, and this plays into what's going on in Chicago. The liberals who have been running this college for as long as you can imagine, the teachers are making 92% of all the money that's going into the college. 92% goes solely for salary and benefits.
Brian, look, that's the problem in Chicago. I mean, they keep saying the children. Look, I don't want to bury everybody when there's statistics, but every new dollar that goes into the Chicago Public Teachers Fund, every dollar, 71 cents goes for their retirement. Basically, every time a poor schmuck in Chicago is taxed for schools, 71 cents of that, of every dollar, goes to pay for their retirement. So they can go to Florida or Arizona, kick their feet up, drink pina coladas, and take a suntan all day. That's essentially what we're doing in Chicago and in cities all across the country. And let's talk about education. Look, I saw that crowd at the DNC. I don't understand how Obama can have 46, 47, 48, 49% of the American people supporting him. The man has been an abysmal failure. Well, if you have generations now, decades of children who can't read, who can't write, who can't do arithmetic, who literally need the state to do everything for them, we're gearing up a generation of stupid people. And the stupid vote is going for Obama. And that's why they're spending all this money on education. Because they know the more stupid people are, the more they'll vote for Obama and the Democrats. It's that simple. 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Talking about the stupid vote. Talking about people who've basically gone through our public education system and literally have learned nothing. They almost come out as dumb as when they went in. Think about our vice president. You want to talk about a national embarrassment. You want to talk about an international embarrassment. This is the perfect guy to pander to the stupid vote, to the moron vote. Here is Joe Biden. I know you've heard it all with him. You're saying, Jeff, come on now. Is jobs again going to be a three-letter word? I mean, you're probably, Jeff, what is he saying now? Is Romney and Ryan going to put African-Americans back in chains? No. Listen to this one. He's in Athens, Ohio, and this is our vice president, Biden the buffoon, joking about almost getting arrested in Athens years ago. Boys, roll clip 11.
Last time I was here, I want to make clear to the press, I didn't get arrested, but I almost did, because back in those days, you students won't appreciate this, men weren't allowed anywhere near a woman's dorm. And I got invited into a dorm, and I got escorted out very quickly by an Athens policeman. But true story, unfortunately.
this guy's our vice president. Oh, really, think about this. This man has got one heartbeat away from the nuclear button. You know, if one of those bear hugs cracks Obama's spine and the poor guy drops dead, he's president. You think about that. This man could have decisions over life and death over this country, whether, I don't know, we go to war with Iran or China or Russia. Who knows? He's the kind of guy, I'm serious, that is in the Oval Office and he's looking at the buttons and he goes, oh, that red one, what does it do? And he presses. And poof, before you know it, we're in a nuclear war. I mean, that's Joe Biden. So, look, when you're going for the stupid vote, this is the guy you send out. And by the polls, there's a lot of stupid people in America. And this is what generations of dumbing down this country through our public education system has done. Where now people are groveling at the feet of the dear leader, ignoring his last 4 years, and saying, sure, you want hope and change? We'll give you another 4 years of hope and change. 1-800-449-8255. George in Las Vegas on KWN. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Sit tight because this is really big news. Unfortunately, in my opinion, you are the best replacement on those days that Michael can't be around. You've been totally misadvised about this spontaneous hug of this pizza giant. He was really big, that Obama got, I think it was in the state of Florida. This was, and I'm quoting now from the Review Journal, the largest paper in a 2 million approximate number of people here in Las Vegas, Nevada these days, and 90% of this paper is Republican. There's a 10% rag, but I won't go into that. This, when I first saw the photograph of this gorilla, and he is big, squeezing our beloved president up in the air, he's 6'4", and weighs at least, in my judgment, about 80 pounds, maybe 100 more than Obama, and could well have snapped a lot of his ribs. But here's the bottom line, Jeff. In the paper, the RJ, that's what we call the Review Journal, did cover the fact that the Secret Service was pre-advised that this bear hug of our beloved president that'll do anything to get reelected. This was all staged by Obama.
Oh, yeah. No, George, you're dead on, and thank you for that call. It's obvious. Look, there's no way the Secret Service would allow anybody to touch a hair on his head, never mind grab him and lift him off the air and give him a big, crushing bear hug. This man who hugged him was a longtime Democratic operative, worked in the Obama campaign in 2008, is known as a friend of the Obama family. This was choreographed. Now, to me, all kidding aside now, what to me is offensive, and I was just talking about this with the producers during the break, is it's so obviously manufactured. It's so obviously phony. They're so obviously trying to manipulate us. Like, we don't have enough problems? I mean, look, if this is, oh, I don't know, 1996, peace and prosperity, relatively, I'd say, ah, okay, let them have fun. Let the sleazy politicians turn this into a movie, into political theater. But with an economic depression, with people being hungry in this country, with the debt bomb ticking, with Iran on the verge of a nuclear weapon, with Russia and China on the march, with young people having no prospects for a job once they graduate from school, everything that this country faces, these are the kinds of games the president is playing, and it's one silly photo op after another. I mean, enough is enough. So we know we're being manipulated. We know we're being used. We know we're being conned. And to me, this is not worthy of a democracy. Look, Putin does this. I understand that. Chavez does this. I understand that. The leaders in China, they do this all the time. But in America, look, we're not stupid. But you see, that's what's insulting. They think we are. They think we're so stupid that we're going to say, oh, yeah, he's so loved. Look at him. He's so loved. This guy couldn't contain himself. This behemoth just came in there and just scooped him up and bear hugged him. And worse than that, they're frankly so disconnected from most Americans. It turns us off, not just because they're manipulating our emotions, because we don't want our presidents to be manhandled. I want a man in the White House. Not a teddy bear, not a rag doll. Imagine, think about it. You're Putin now. You're sitting in the Kremlin, okay? And Medvedev walks in. Vladimir, look at this. Look at this dumb American president. Look, Vladimir's looking and saying, my God, he allows himself like this to be treated? Here. What is this? Holding him, grabbing him like this. He's not the man. He's not the man. What is this? They're laughing at us. 1-800-449-8255. Ron in New York on WOR. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
You know, Jeff, if you saw that video just like I did, and you thought that Putin right now is laughing at us, you are the stupidest man on the planet. You are an idiot.
Ron, you think I'm stupider than Joe Biden?
I think you're 10 times stupider than Joe Biden.
That's impossible, Ron. That's scientifically impossible.
Well, I would have to get out the atomic collider to calculate that. But your stupidity has got to be quantum leaps beyond Joe Biden's. If you think that man picking up our president was anything but exactly what it was, a pure show of emotion, you are a complete and total fool, and you're going to lose this election because why? Your candidate stinks. Your candidate sucks.
And your candidate's doing such a great job, Ron.
He's doing a beautiful job.
Beautiful job, huh?
Yeah. But, hey, let me tell you there, Cooner. How many Americans were killed in Egypt? How many Americans were killed in Syria?
How many Americans were killed in Egypt? How many Americans were killed in Syria? Ron, let me ask you this. How many Americans have been killed in Bolivia?
Hey, answer the question.
Ron, how many Americans have been killed in Chile?
Question, loser.
Ron.
Answer the question, loser.
I mean, look, this is what liberalism does. You see? Look at Ron. Now, look, Ron, it's about 15 to the hour. I have 7:45 my time. I don't know where you're calling from. I think what you're from New York. I understand between 7:30 and 7:45, they allow some of the inmates at the local mental asylum to roam the halls. But I hear the bell ringing, Ron. The bell is ringing. And you have to go back into your padded cell, okay? But don't worry about it, Ron. It's going to be okay with a little bit of medication. You'll feel better tomorrow. 1-800-449-8255. Susan from Tennessee, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I'd like to make three quick points. First, Michelle Obama sounded like Eva Peron at the DNC last week. The second, the gentleman who thought that you blame Obama for everything, and when it comes to this picture, well, Obama picks his Secret Service personnel around him personally, so yes, he would be responsible. The third thing I'd like to bring up is Romney. I absolutely do believe that Mitt Romney will do everything he can to repeal Obamacare, but he has to have the cooperation of Congress. And if we don't get the majority in Congress, then he's going to be fighting a really, really hard battle. I think that there are things about health care that are mentioned in those 2,700 pages of bullcrap that are good.
Susan, look, I like Mitt Romney personally. I know people who know him, and they vouched for his character. He's a good family man. He loves his wife. He's been an outstanding father. I think he's been a very good businessman in many ways. I want him to succeed. I want him to win. But I'm not going to lie to you. When you're already compromising and we're still 2 months away from the election, that's the rap on Romney, that essentially he's a squish. That essentially he's a man that sacrifices his compromises to cut a deal. And we don't need a deal maker. What we need is somebody who will give us bold, principled leadership. And the only thing I'm hoping for is that if anybody will stiffen up his spine, it's Paul Ryan. Because I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't repeal Obamacare root and branch, mark my words, you will see a third party form in the United States. We will not accept a permanent European-style cradle-to-grave welfare state. Now, I don't want to speak for Michael Savage. Michael is his own man, and he's always marched to his own drummer. But there are many nationalists, many constitutionalists, many principled conservative populists, like myself and like Michael, that are going to say, you know what, Mitt? If you're going to give us the kiss of Judas, and you're going to stab us in the back, we're going to leave the Republican Party, and we're never coming back. So, Mitt, I'm telling you, you better be careful of the game that you're playing. And what I don't understand is Obamacare, to me, this is a political, it's a no-brainer. Obamacare is deeply unpopular. 60 to 70% of Americans never wanted it and don't want it. So, Mitt, don't tell David Gregory there are parts of it that you like. Tell David Gregory there's no part of it that you like, and you're going to get rid of it on day one, and you'll have the American people behind you. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. The phone lines are blazing. Are you worried that the Republican Party will fall by the wayside if they don't become more conservative, or if they fail to implement conservative policies? Should Romney win? Do you think maybe the time is coming for a conservative third party or a nationalist third party? Stephen in Pittsburgh on WPGB, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Okay, quickly, a couple points. First one, about the bear hug everyone's talking about. I think it's cheap that he staged the bear hug. I do think it touches on a certain nerve in the American public. I think it may be Obama's only strength, is kind of down-to-earthness, the accessibility. I think it reminds me of kind of Thomas Jefferson, where people could knock on the door of the White House and get in touch with the president. I think that's maybe his only strength. And I think the bear hug in itself doesn't necessarily reflect negatively on the president, except for the fact that it was staged.
Thank you for that call, Stephen. Look, let me be very candid. We've made a lot of jokes and the one-liners, but everything aside, today is September 10. Tomorrow is September 11. Now, that is the 11-year anniversary of one of the most horrible days, one of the most horrible atrocities ever committed on American soil. To me, it's offensive, to be very candid, all kidding aside, that this president allows himself to be bear-hugged, to cynically manipulate the American people so he can come across as a likable, ordinary Joe. I mean, the stakes are too high. I know it's a cliche, but this is the most important election in our lifetime. And with everything that's happened, with everything that's going on, this guy has nothing better to do with his time than to pull off this obvious publicity stunt? I mean, does he really think we're that stupid? This is what he really thinks deep down. This is the attitude of a Marxist elitist. Give him some bread and circuses. Throw him a little razzle dazzle. Yeah, let him bear hug me and everybody will think I'm so beloved. He thinks we're so stupid that we're like children. We're so ignorant that he can just press our emotional buttons and we'll go, ha ha ha, look how much he's loved, when we can see right through it. My friends, this is a con man in chief and he keeps trying to con us. And after a while, in all honesty, in all candor, don't you feel disrespected? I want a president. I don't want a fraud. I don't want a swindler. Maybe that works in the south side of Chicago, but I'll tell you this, it doesn't and it shouldn't work in the White House. 1-800-449-8255. Ian in Pittsburgh on WPGB. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. I am a registered independent in Pennsylvania. I'm 25 years old. You know, this debate is obviously historical. The debate that's coming up, I mean, it's going to be amazing. But as you said earlier, Romney definitely has to take the gloves off. I mean, when he's asked about health care reform, he must start the sentences with the $16 trillion deficit to remind the independent vote specifically not only that Obama economics does not work, but to sober the thoughts of how good they sound. Because Obama's argument of Republican bipartisan to figure it out with the deficit, you know, it's just bull for, you know, an excuse of him keeping the print money. I mean, remember when Obama, he pledged as president, and this is the quote, and that's why today I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term.
Ian, he lied to you. And I'm telling you now, all right, as a man to a man, you're 25, I'm 43. I may get by, but you and your generation, you have been shafted. I'm being very candid with you. There is so much debt that has been piled onto your shoulders and those of your generation, you will never be able to pay it back. And you are the ones that are going to bear the brunt of it. And I'm telling you, that you and your generation should now say once and for all, if you cannot balance our books, if you cannot enforce our borders, if you cannot live within our means, you do not deserve to be in elected office and you have to go. Period. I always say this, run America like a business, not an empire. And it's time to put a businessman in the White House who will clean house, balance the books, and get this country moving again. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, thank you once again for the honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. Honestly, I don't know where the last 2 hours went. They just blew by. You have an incredible show, an incredible audience. And Michael, keep up the Lord's work. In fact, literally, I'm going to be very candid, almost confessional. Producers and I were talking. They were telling me how the last couple weeks that, quote, you've been on fire. You got to keep it up. We need you, Michael. 60 days left. Rest up, my friend, because these could be the 60 most important days in the history of our republic. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com for some of the latest must-read stories you cannot find anywhere else. And what have we been talking about for the most of this show? If there's one theme, it is that America is becoming the United States of entertainment. It is the entertainmentization and infantilization of our society. That's exactly what's been happening in our politics, in our culture, and in our national life. And just this weekend, another story, michaelsavage.com, you have to read it. One of these culture war stories that is an indicator of what is happening in America and happening in Hollywood and in our culture. Box office numbers for this weekend have been the lowest in over a decade. In a decade. Hollywood now is in a major slump. People are not going to see movies anymore. They are abandoning big screen movies in a major way. And the question is why? Why is the audience so turned off? Many of the supposed summer blockbuster hits have failed to materialize. Except for one film that nobody thought would be successful and in fact is burning up the charts. And that is a conservative political documentary. Obama 2016, produced and co-directed by Dinesh D'Souza. I actually saw the movie. I think it's a brilliant movie. I've read Dinesh D'Souza's book. He doesn't need to convince me that Obama is a third world anti-colonial radical socialist. That's been his agenda. But what is even more interesting to me is that the only films that are doing well are conservative films, like Obama 2016. A documentary. I mean, this is not an action-packed movie. You're not going to be on the edge of your seat where you can barely drink your Coke and eat your popcorn because the action is so riveting. When I went, the theater was packed. Packed. I had to sit in the front seat, the front row. It was packed. And yet all of these other Hollywood movies, it's bomb, bomb, bomb. They're bombing. And I think one of the reasons why is they keep slapping middle America and American values in the face. They're flagrant with their liberalism, with their smearing and denigrating of religion, of patriotism, of the military, of the family, of the Catholic Church. I could go on and on. Let me ask all of you, how many of that deluge, that orgy of anti-Iraq war films did you see? How many comedies have you seen where it's always celebrating, it's almost like cultural Marxism. It's a man lovable figure in every one of these romantic comedies. Or conversely, how many comedies do you now see where one of the lead actors, the male in the movie, let's say in a family comedy or whatever, is some guy who's 30, 35, 40 years old but refuses to grow up? How many times have they done that? Where a man is not supposed to take responsibility, get married, get a job, raise a family. No, it's a celebration of the douchebag. The effeminate, metrosexual adolescent who just never grows up. It's one comedy after another. Angels and Demons. The Da Vinci Code with Tom Hanks. One giant smear against the Roman Catholic Church. How many movies are they going to make of shyster televangelists? I could go on and on and on. They're not giving us entertainment. They're giving us propaganda masked as culture and film. Now notice, while all these movies are busting, one bust after another, okay, everyone that they give an Academy Award to, I don't see it. The moment they say nominated for an Academy Award, don't see it. Whatever you do, don't see it. At a minimum, it's going to bore you to tears. Or it's going to be a celebration of abortion. Or a celebration of single parenthood. Or a celebration of opposition to the war. Or it's going to be a celebration of homosexuality. Or transsexuality. Or bisexuality. Somehow, somewhere. Or opposition to racism. They're peddling causes. It's boring. It's dull. Who can sit through that? Now, you think, Jeff, come on, you're over-exaggerating. Hollywood can't be that left-wing. They can't be that radical. Here's one other story. Breaking news. Right now. Top Hollywood director believes incest is acceptable. A Hollywood director has now given an interview where he says he finds it acceptable for people to commit incest. In an interview with The Wrap, director Nick Cassavetes believes no one should judge a brother and sister being with each other if they are in love. I'm reading from the story. Let me give you a direct quote. He says, I'm not saying this is an absolute, but in a way, if you're not having kids, who gives a damn? Love who? Now, why is he saying this? Why is he saying it's okay for people to commit incest? Because apparently he has a movie called Yellow, which has been featured at the Toronto Film Festival, which I guess is getting critical accolades, which stars two characters, a brother and a sister. The brother is in prison. The sister visits him in prison. And in prison, they have an incestuous relationship. And this is presented in a sort of non-judgmental, non-critical way. Incest. This is what Hollywood has been peddling for decades. They keep pushing the envelope. And yet, this movie, I'm telling you, is not going to make any money. It's a bomb. This movie is lucky if it sees $2-3 million. Okay, they're going to lose money on this movie, like they do on all these other cultural, secular, liberal, radical movies. They're going to lose money on every of them. Every single one of them. But what movies do make money? It's not just conservative political documentaries. It's superhero movies. What was the biggest hit of the summer? The Avengers. Spider-Man, huge moneymaker. Batman, The Dark Knight, huge moneymaker. Why? Because they present the world in good versus evil. They celebrate America. They show strong, bold, principled leadership. They're heroes in a world without any heroes. The world is seen through black and white in a world the media keeps telling us is gray. Our politicians have failed us. Our economic leaders have failed us. Our culture is failing us. But at least when we go to the movies and see a superhero movie, even if it's a fantasy, at least there we can see heroes. That's why those movies are doing so phenomenally well. It's not rocket science. It's obvious. I was just talking about this with Beowulf. I love Turner classic movies. Think of that, the movies that used to be made. All of the Alfred Hitchcock films. Casablanca. Even films like The Godfather. We couldn't even come close to making a movie like that anymore. Hollywood is incapable of it. And that is why they are slowly going bankrupt. And they know it. It's not just America that's going bankrupt. Hollywood is going bankrupt. And like America, like Obama, they are so ideologically driven. They are so fanatical in waging their secular cultural war upon traditional American values. They can't even see they're going broke in the process. And so my question to you is a very simple one. Do you go to the movies? Have you stopped going to the movies? And why? Do you like what Hollywood produces, or are you turned off by it? 1-800-449-8255. Do you still go to the movies? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Is there a movie that embodies traditional American values that you've seen in the last 10 years? Any decent movies that really uphold Americana that you've seen in the last, let's say, 5, 10 years? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Carrie in Chico, California. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. Hi. I haven't been to the movies in at least 5 years, but when 2016 came out, last week I went to go see it, and that film is excellent. He did such a spot on for showing who Obama really is and what his ideals are. I would suggest that everyone in this country see that movie today, now.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Look, I got to tell you, I loved it. There was nothing in it that surprised me, but let me tell you what is the most... The only word I can think of that's really apt is chilling. There is a chilling aspect to this movie. It's an easy movie to watch. In some ways, it's a fun movie to watch as far as political documentaries go. But it is chilling because what D'Souza does, you see, you have to remember this. This is a very key point. D'Souza was born and raised in India. So he came from the Third World. He came from the anti-colonial, anti-British Empire Third World. And so when D'Souza says, I get it. When I listen to Obama, when I hear his speeches, when I read his autobiographies, that's my father. That's my grandfather. Those are the people I grew up with. You see, you Americans, born and raised in America, you still see him within the liberal tradition in America. But you don't understand. His formative years were in Indonesia. His formative years were the influence of his father or the absence of his father in his life, but the anti-colonial dreams that he had. And so when I see Obama, I see India. I see the third world. And that's what clicks into place. And that's when everything makes sense. It is a brilliant movie. I urge all of you, go see it. Doug in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Doug?
Good. Hey, your comment about or the question as to why I think movies are dying is I just stopped giving my money to the people who, for lack of a better term, made the list, the Sean Penns, the George Clooney's, the Matt Damon's of the world. Why in the world would I give them any of my money if they're going to go around and badmouth the country? It's just not going to happen. I did see 2016, and like you, there was not a lot of surprise in it because, quite frankly, we have Quinn and Rose here in Pittsburgh, which is an excellent show. And, you know, if I'm out and about going about my daily work, I'm tuning in to everybody during the day, but I just will not give my money to people that are, you know.
Doug, you nailed it. You've summed up my feelings. When I see Matt Damon trashing this country, when I see George Clooney campaigning for Obama, when I see Ashley Judd saying she wants abortion on demand and that we should pay for it, I'm thinking, why should I give these crazy lunatic left-wingers my money? It's my money. Why should I make them rich? No, I'm not going to pay for it. And that, my friends, is bad business for them. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Jimmy in Las Vegas on KDWN. You're on the Savage Nation, Jimmy.
I have to say that the 2000s...
Brokeback Mountain. Roger in Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to say that I think everything from the start of this administration should be thoroughly investigated. His incompetence in obeying the laws of the Constitution concerning his job, and that and Holder and everybody else in his cabinet, the tax cheat, they all should be investigated. And whatever the true Justice Department should do with them should be according to the Constitution. There's a lot more I'd like to say, but it's hard to talk when on the radio.
Thanks, Roger. No, look, I think Obama has a brilliant career in the movies. I've often said this about him. He takes good care of himself. He works out 2 hours a day. The media keeps telling us he's got very sexy pecs. He's a big celebrity. He's got celebrity stature. He knows how to read his lines. You put the teleprompter in front of him, he's almost perfect. He's impeccable. You put him in front of a director, and I'm positive that Barack can do extremely well. Barry could have a very successful career. And what is Hollywood? It's full of smug, arrogant, self-important, elitist liberals who don't do very much all day. The guy would be perfect. He would hang around with Sean Penn and his fellow left-wing buddies, and they could go on and rant against America and create movies that nobody wants to see. It would be, I'm telling you, this guy has a second career as a Hollywood actor. Barry, don't be worried if you lose this election. You'll make a hell of a lot more money in Hollywood. Trust me, Barry. okay? Really, it's going to be okay. Trust me. Vanessa in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, my issue is I believe that Hollywood and Obama are trying to villainize the working class. I can't let my kids watch Happy Feet because the fishermen are evil. Or how many times do you see, like, the oafish cop just doing his job and that's the bad guy?
You know, Vanessa, that is a very interesting point. It's you know, increasingly, remember the old cop, like cop and robber movies, which I loved growing up on? The cops were the good guys, you know, the criminals were the bad guys, and the cops would chase down the bad guys. Now it's the opposite. Have you noticed in about the last 20 years, all these Hollywood movies, the cops are corrupt, the cops are on the take, the cops are dirty, the cops are racist, and it's the criminals who are sympathetic. It's the drug dealers who are just trying to take care of their family. They have some a mother that's dying of lung cancer, and that's why they got to deal drugs or rob a bank. And they want you to almost root for the bank robbers or root for the drug dealers or root for the gangsters. Have you noticed it started with The Godfather, but it's increased now over about the last 30 years. We celebrate gangsters. It says it's the cult of gangsters. Being the gangbanger. And so it's like black is white and white is black. You know, Vanessa, you're completely right. And in the end, it's not inspiring. Why do I want to see people who I try to avoid every day portrayed on the big screen as heroes? I don't know. Call me crazy. Mike in Michigan, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I'd like to say that Cinderella Man was a good movie.
You know what, Mike? You were right. I love that movie. I thought it was brilliantly directed. I don't care for Ron Howard's politics. He's another liberal. But at least he can keep his politics, up to a certain point, out of the movies. And I loved the portrayal by Russell Crowe. And here was a guy in a Great Depression, struggling to become heavyweight champion. You know, loved his wife, loved his children. And you know what was one of the most poignant scenes in the movie? I don't know if you remember this, but where he gives back the welfare money that was given to him by the state of New York. Oh, Mike, those days are long gone. Those days are long gone. Everybody's pocketing welfare money now. The whole country's on welfare. It used to be a sense of shame to be on welfare. Now it's almost a point of pride. I look at the DNC convention, literally half the convention people there are on welfare, saying we want more welfare. Or an illegal alien. They bring out an illegal alien on stage on the podium and basically saying, I'm illegal and I'm proud of it. I mean, that's Obama's America. That's what you see on a daily basis. And that's what they're portraying in movies now. Everybody's a hero who's on welfare. 1-800-449-8255. Marjorie in Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, for taking my call. Listen,
my pleasure.
I know what you're saying about the movies. I don't go to the movies. I don't let my grandchildren go to the movies. But I heard that in China and Europe and wherever, they're watching all these movies and that the movie stars don't care how much money they make in America. They're making the money over there.
Marjorie, you're dead right, and thank you for that call. And I think in the end is going to be our undoing. And here's why. I've said this story a few times. If you've heard it, forgive me. But I have to restate it because it is one of the two or three most transformative events that ever happened in my life. When I visited Paris, France, about 7 years ago, I brought along a group of students because my wife was then a professor at Howard University in Washington. And we went to one of the biggest mosques in Paris. And we wanted to show the students what life was like, because you hear about the surging Muslim population in Paris and how they're spreading all across France. And so we went to what's called the Grande Mosque de Paris. That's the French name. The Great Mosque, the Grand Mosque of Paris. And we met the imam. And I walked in and I saw the imam. And I said, excuse me, sir, we're from America. We're from Washington, D.C. I work at the Washington Times. My wife is a professor. We'd like to learn more about Islam and in particular, Muslims in France. And right away, he said, I want your wife and the kids to leave. I want to speak to you alone. Okay. He takes me downstairs into a bathhouse where it's full of young Muslim men. I mean, 20 to 25. All of them washing their feet and giving me, like, if looks could kill, darts were coming out of their eyes. And I'll never forget what he said. And this comes to the heart of culture in Hollywood. He said to me, look around you. These are my holy warriors. These are my mujahideen. Their feet are clean, their minds are clean, and their souls are clean. Look at you decadent Americans with your pornography and your drugs and your homosexuality. And this is what he said. And all of the garbage that comes out of Hollywood that you spread like a cultural sewer to us in the Muslim world. You think we're going to allow you to win in Iraq? You think we're going to allow you to win in Afghanistan so you can spread your culture, your civilization, your decadence on our soil and on our women? No way. And he said, you go back to Washington and you tell George Bush from me, Iraq will be America's graveyard. And then we will kick you out of Afghanistan. And when we kick you out of Afghanistan, we're going to come straight for you in America. And that's when it clicked in my head, right there and then. More than our foreign policy, more than our wars abroad, radical Islam despises our hedonistic, decadent, secular culture. And when they see America, they see Hollywood. That's what they see. They don't see you. They don't see me. They don't see Michael Savage. They don't see the Savage Nation. They don't see traditional Judeo-Christian America. They see the worst aspects of America. And that's why people abroad, I can't tell you how many times I've traveled to Europe. I swear to you, Austria, Germany, Croatia, they say, is America really that violent? Because we look at your movies, you guys are dropping out like flies. My friends, Hollywood is going bankrupt. Nobody wants to see their films. And I'm telling you, just like Obama's America, Hollywood's days are numbered. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Rob in Albany, New York on WGY. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Rob.
Listen, I chose not to go to movies any longer. I think what really put me over the edge is what Clooney did.
Rob, if you don't mind me asking, not to cut you off, but I don't like George Clooney. He's done many things. What in particular has he done that turned you off?
Well, you know, I don't want to support people that they have a right to believe whatever they want to believe. But when they're a public image and they flaunt it to the people and they say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do and I'm still going to make millions of dollars. And I'm not going to support that effort.
You know, Rob, you make a very interesting point. I touched on it earlier. Let me ask you this, and let me ask the audience this. Now, they may cheat and check on the internet, but let me ask you this point blank. Do you know Alfred Hitchcock's politics, what his politics were?
I do not.
Humphrey Bogart?
I do not.
Gary Cooper?
No. Nope.
Ingrid Bergman?
No. Nope.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. In the old days, in the golden era of Hollywood, the star directors, the star actors, the star actresses, they didn't parade their politics on stage. They didn't ram it down your throat. They didn't shove it down your throat. Why? Because they know it's bad business. Why alienate half the country? That's what people in Hollywood don't understand. Honestly, I don't care what some drugged up, washed up, no talent actor has to say about politics in the world. I don't care what Sean Penn has to say. I don't care what George Clooney has to say. I honestly don't. Oliver Stone, all of them. This guy, Nick Cassavetes. I think incest is good between a man and a woman. You're an idiot. If your mother didn't tell you, I'm telling you. You're an idiot. Okay? But incest? That's now acceptable for you, and you want me to go see your movies? I'd be embarrassed, honestly, even if I thought it, which I never would. Incest between a brother and a sister? And you're going to go on the record and say, I think it's a good thing? I think we shouldn't judge it? That's why Hollywood is going bankrupt. And I think it's a form of madness. When you have that many drugs, no, really, that many people addicted on drugs, that many people coked to the gills, with that much fame and that much power and that much celebrity, you live in a bubble. You're like Caligula. You're completely detached from reality. And they can't even see nobody wants to buy their product anymore. And that's exactly how I feel. I see Scarlett Johansson at the Democratic National Convention. I'm not going to see a movie. Why should I? If you're going to offend my values that much, I'm not going to pay. Why should I put money in your pocket? And that goes for all of these big Hollywood left-wing actors and directors. And that's why they're going bankrupt. Jim in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
The reason I don't go to the movies anymore is because of Americans. When I go to the movies now, it's horrible. You spend, you know, $30 or $40 to go, and I've got to listen to people chew loudly. I've got to listen to them talk. I've got to watch them text on their cell phones. I actually had a guy reading subtitles out loud in an art house movie once. It's awful. So anyway, I just wait and watch it at home. You can't go out anymore. People are so selfish and self-absorbed and horrible.
Jim, amen. Amen, brother. Amen. The cell phones, the yakking, the talking. And I got to say this. I have to say this. The young generation, it's not just the piercing and it's not just the tattoos. They don't shower. I don't know what, if it's this naturalist thing. I don't know if it's a neo-hippie thing. I don't know what it is. But I'm noticing now when Chris and I go to movie theaters, the younger generation, they don't shower. They stink. I'm serious. I'm like, oh my God. Honey, let's go to the back. Let's go to the front. I'm gonna pass out. 1-800-449-8255. Have you seen a good movie? Have you seen a movie that embodies traditional American values in, let's say, the last decade? I want to hear from you. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Matt in Kentucky, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I was calling in about the movie comment. I think right now we're living in a mixture of Orwell's 84 and Huxley's Brave New World, because half of us are too preoccupied by the media or our entertainment devices to see what's going on. And the other path that are aware are shoved, you know, get this propaganda shoved down their throats through movie and through the media.
No, Matt, you nailed it. I mean, you're completely right. I mean, first of all, I have to say this, that a lot of the movies, I don't even see them anymore because I've really cut my intake of movies. It's porn. I look at a lot of these movies and the nudity and the constant gratuitous sex. This is porn. This is soft pornography. I mean, to me, it's obvious. And if it's not sexual porn, it's violent porn. It's like, how do you dismember a body? It's like, I like some horror movies, but what you see on the screen, it's torture. It's like how to dismember and degrade a body. You know, how to 128 ways to tear a body apart in less than 2 hours. And yeah, people find that entertaining.
It's all just shock factor. There's no.
Yeah, exactly. And you raise the shock value and you raise the shock value and you raise the shock value. And after a while, your senses are just bombarded. Or if you don't get that, you get like an in-your-face political message. Conservatives bad, liberals good. George Bush is the Antichrist. Obama is the savior. And so, to me, why should I pay $10.50 for a ticket? Never mind if you throw in the popcorn and the soda and you bring a date or something. You're looking at $40-$50. Forget it. I'd rather take her out. I'd rather take my wife out to dinner and have a nice dinner with my wife and enjoy the conversation. Keith in Tennessee, go, baby.
Deja vu. Before I get into movies, let me say that Dr. Savage is absolutely right about the death of liberty in America. As surely as Jesus Christ rose from the dead and several ancestors of mine founded the United States government, liberty is dying in this country. And with respect to the Antichrist, there are ELS Bible codes in the Old Testament about the time of the end of Gentile domination, which may or may not have something to do with Revelation and Apocalypse 9:18, 10:10, and 18:4. With respect to movies, though, I buy a lot of videos. I probably bought 1,000 in the last 10 years, but the last movie I went to was The Passion of the Christ in 2004, primarily because most of the movie theaters around here have closed down. We've only got two left, including a drive-in. And also...
Keith, listen, I love The Passion of the Christ. It's one of the last great movies Hollywood has made in about the last decade. Joan, I got about a minute. Go.
Stop going to movies. And like the previous caller, the last movie I went to see was Passion of Christ, which I loved. And then I went to see 2016 of this last movie. I just saw it over the weekend. I wasn't sure I was going to go because I don't like Obama. But it really, D'Souza is brilliant and excellent. And what a scholar. And to find out he was born in this, and came from a third world country like as Obama, except they went in different directions.
Joan? Dinesh D'Souza is like myself and Michael Savage, people who descend from immigrants who love this country. To all of you, God bless you. Michael, take care, buddy. Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.